And with these days, we've been speaking about the old wineskins changing to new wineskins. And today is the 11th session in the series. Let's first turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Here it says, the Lord Jesus, when He was on the, as accomplished on the cross, has won for us a position, and that is that we can be made alive with Him and raise us up with Him to be seated with Him in the heavenly realms. And He's saying that this is that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches to be expressed to us. He might show us, and then to show that in the coming ages. Here He says that if we are resurrected with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly realms, this is the position that God has won for us. Do you feel like you have been resurrected and raised with Him and seated in the heavens? I give you an example. Some people are born in the United States. They are U.S. citizens. But later on, and then they went on to their a third world country, a backward country, and then it's very dirty and chaotic. But He has position, He has identity, He has the right to live in the U.S. The air is clean and the place is clean and beautiful. And all this person needs to do is that if he knows that he has this position, he just buy an airfare and come to the United States. And same with us, we have this identity and position. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Next, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. And Paul is saying here that if you have been raised with Christ, you should set your hearts on things above. If you have a one who is a citizen of heaven, you should set your heart on the things above. What are those things? He said, there Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and that is to seek Christ. You should set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. My last message, we emphasize verse 3 and 4. Because we are dead since Adam's fall, and all the descendants of Adam, that we are all sliding towards death. Our thoughts and then our emotions have been polluted and corrupted by the world and these dark thoughts. And then our emotions are twisted. And then our entire life is dead. This is speaking of the old wineskin. And God has given us a new wineskin. And there's a new life. And this is a resurrected life. It is seated in the heavenly realms. This life has been hidden with Christ in God. And my last message spoke on the same passage here, But I emphasize verse 3 and 4. If we who live in the new wineskin, in the resurrection realm, we would experience many wonderful, miraculous things. Many things you have never thought of would happen. I spoke to you of my eyes going to be nearsighted or farsighted, and I said I rebuked it. And then from then on, I did not get farsightedness. And then I spoke of, in the new wineskin, and hidden with Christ in God, this life, it's a glorious life. It's a wonderful life. We need to know we have this identity. Several days ago, a sister said to me, this sister told me that her child will wake up in the middle of the night and then would cry and then would come to her. And then has seen terrible things in his dreams. So every day is like this. So this sister cannot sleep well. And then another sister told me about this sister's circumstance, and that this sister has a lot of ministry, and I feel for her. So I said that next Sunday, bring your child up front, and then we would pour oil on him and pray over him. And then this sister told me and said, Pastor Gray, thank you. And it's so wonderful, my son. Now, after you have anointed and prayed over him, now he can sleep through the night till dawn. It's so wonderful. I said, yes. And I answered her, yes, the spiritual things are real. And she said that in these days, God is teaching her to know the spiritual things. That is to say, in the spirit, because Charles is open in his spirit, and then the enemy can attack him. But by the authority of the church, when we pray over him, the anointing of the Lord comes over him, and then the demons cannot attack him, and so he can sleep well. So brothers and sisters, do you know that we have been raised with him, and we are in the heavens? Our life has been hidden with Christ in God. This is a wonderful life. You have great authority. You are standing on the land of grace. And this, all the richness and grace is on us. And he wants to manifest through us what he has accomplished through his salvation. All his love and all his abundance. When we sin, when we confess our sins, the Lord forgives us. This is grace. Last time I spoke also on this new wineskin. There are many miraculous things happen to us. If you know your identity, it's one who has been raised with Christ in the heavenly places. I want to share with you last time about a servant of the Lord, that he was going to be late to a meeting and the traffic was very bad. And so he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, what I'm going to do? I'm going to be late 2 hours. In 1 to 2 seconds, God took him to his destination, to the place he was going to preach. It's not that God allowed his car to fly through the air. No, that would frighten him. No, in 1 second, he was at his destination. And you say, how can this be possible? This is the 21st century. And then this is the scientific period. But yes, this happened in the Bible. When Philip finished his work in Samaria, God took him and brought him to a new place. And then to do the work that God has planned for him. Brothers and sisters, we need to know, what is my identity? What is my position? Today, I have a new life, has been hidden in God with Christ. we have authority and glory upon us. Here it says, if you know you have this position and this identity, that you have been raised with Christ, then you need to seek the things on things above. What are the things above? And to many of us, it's foreign. For example, like the cherubim and the seraphim. How come they would be look like that way? How come they have four faces? Or like the face of a lion, face of a man, and face of an eagle. And we would think, what is heaven like? And seem like many strange animals there. No, that's a heavenly creature. But to us, we are on the earth, we are limited here. And then the created can not see these things. And you have not seen the rhinoceros, and you have never seen crocodile, you would think, how can they be such an animal? But in heaven, these are very common. There are things in the heaven, there are things that we do not understand here on earth. For example, in Revelations in chapter 1, it says, the Son of Man, that is Jesus himself, and then when he appeared to John, and his hands, there are seven stars. His right hand, he has seven stars. But at the same time, he used his right hand to touch John, the Apostle John. He should be touching John with his left hand. And so in heaven, it's not like what you think. In his right hand, he has seven stars, and yet using his right hand to touch Apostle John. I'll give you an example. Last time when I went to Vancouver, that was a month ago, I went there a day or two earlier to be with my sister. So my sister rented a hotel room. It's close by the lake and still a ways away from the lake. So in the morning, I said to my sister, can we have a morning devotion? And so my sister said, yes. So we woke up and had morning devotion. While we were drawing clothes and waiting upon the Lord, I started to pray in tongues. And then all of a sudden my sister cried out aloud, oh Lord Jesus, yes Jesus, in the future I need to wait upon you and have good morning devotions. And I don't know why she would cry out and confess before the Lord that way. And after our morning devotion, she said to me, he said, do you know? Do you know when you started to pray in tongues? And Jesus from the other side of the lake, and all of a sudden he came and sat by our side. And it's a long chair. And then both my feet were on the sofa. And then when Jesus came, he was also putting both his hands, putting both feet on the sofa. And so he was looking at us. And so my sister was, God's light shone on her. And she did not habitual for her to wait upon the Lord. And now she went back to Taiwan, and so now, and I called her, and then she is waiting upon the Lord every day. And then my sister said to me, she saw Jesus sitting beside us, and all of a sudden Jesus was behind me and embracing me. And with both his hands, and he also used his right hand to touch the ankle of my sister. And then because she was in pain in her ankle, and when he touched her ankle, she was healed. And how can Jesus embracing you, holding you with both hands, and then at the same time use his hand to touch my ankle? We do not know, but only in heaven is that way. And so when I read in Revelation, yes, he has in his right hand seven stars, and at the same time touch John with his right hand. There are things in heaven we do not understand. I say this is to encourage, brothers and sisters, if you have tongues, to pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, then Jesus came. So my sister asked me, when Jesus embraced you, do you know? Did you feel it? Did you see it? I said, no, I did not see it. Sometimes I know that the presence of God is very strong, but I did not see. So this also tells us that many times that you do not see, but Jesus is really right there beside you, in front of you, just before you. And when you read the Bible, where it speaks that John says that I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. When we pray in tongues, and these days as we when we read pray out the Bible, and we read out the Bible verses, we spoke of God's revelation. And these days, we are praying using these verses. It seems like the things of heaven is open and revealed to us in our hearts. And we feel more His presence inside of us and around us, among us. This morning, while I was reading the Bible verses about God's revelation, and after I read it, I went to the kitchen to eat my breakfast. While I was eating breakfast, all of a sudden I saw outside my window, there is red color, and it said so beautiful. And I forgot everything. I did not wear a coat. And I'm just like Moses when he saw the fire in the bush, and I went over there and looked at it. And then on one side of my window is the west and then the south. And I see that the clouds are red, so the east side must be very beautiful. So I ran out and saw so beautiful. And the light is a golden color. It's a glorious place, and then it's shining out, and it's radiant red, and it's just like in Daniel, before the throne, that is a river of fire. And now I understand why before the throne there is a river of fire. Everything is red. You know, even though it recently been raining, there is a lot of clouds, but above the clouds it's red. It's like a river of fire. And then and when the light shines on it, all the black clouds become red. And then cloud by cloud, group by group, and it's filled with glory and power. And then the river of fire flowing from the throne of God. And not only the east, the north, the south, the west, all of it was red in color. Not as red as the east, but every place is filled with red. And I said, and I felt that is my home. That's my home country. That is the place I will be going. And I felt that it's so glorious. To this heavenly country. Just like in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, Abraham, even though he was in the promised land, but he's waiting for the city with foundation. That city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And that foundation is Jesus. And that city is filled with Jesus. And Abraham was waiting for that place. That is his home, he knows. That's the place he will be going. So he, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. Even though he was in the promised land, he did not consider the land as his home. He knows that he's going to another land. That land is a city. whose architect and builder is God, and that city is Jesus himself. So Abraham looked upon lightly the things that God has blessed him with. And he is a pilgrim on the earth. He's a sojourner. So he lived in tents. Brothers and sisters, we on earth is the same way. God gave you a big house or nice cars. Those are only tents. You know that you have a home in heaven. In the past, for many years, the things of heaven did not draw my heart. And when I read the Revelations, it seemed so boring. And then there's the 24 elders bowing, and day and night they are bowing and worshiping. And then the four creatures said this, "Holy, holy, holy, and glory and honor and power unto the Lord." And then the 24 elders will worship, and then sing the same things, and it's just the same words over and over again. And it seemed like heaven is very boring and not interesting. And there are many precious stones, and there are the jasper and carnelian and the emerald, and I have no interest in precious stones. And it seems like heaven is not a very interesting place. But this half year, through our worship, and then more earnestly reading the Bible, those passages where God reveals himself and use it to pray, then we discover the inside of us is different. And as we meditate on these words, and we have a longing for heaven, a desire for heaven. And now I discover that I love to see the sky, and I may see, all of a sudden I may see the sea of glass. And I often see the rainbow, but I want to see the throne, I want to see the sea of glass. And there's a longing, a desire. And when I pray, when I'm praying in my own room, I feel the glorious radiance of God. I feel it more easily now. Why are we so unfamiliar with the things of heaven? Because we have seen too much of the things of the world. The Bible tells us that day and night they are thinking of the things and doing evil things on earth. But if we are truly raised with Christ, you must often meditate on the things above. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. We have a sister recently that and then she started to get depressed about her family finances. And she started to worry about it and starting to be oppressed and to be moody. And so she came to a harp and bowl worship and she sat in the back. And the Lord convicted her to come up front to dance. And she felt that, "Lord, I can dance at the back, can I? Why should I come up front?" And the Lord convicted her again. And so she obeyed and then danced in front. And then God wanted her to dance and freely dance and full release. And so after she danced, she went back to, and while she was waiting upon the Lord in front, she saw the throne of God in front. And then it's radiant and the lights are shining. And then shining golden rays. And then the throne is shining forth. It's just like an arrow shooting forth. And then shooting to her. And the glorious radiance of God shooting its rays into her. And the whole person was filled with joy and satisfaction. And all worries are gone. And she was very joyful. She discovered that the amazing beauty of God, and that is the strength of our salvation. These days I felt that when you reveal your beauty and glory, only your glory and your beauty can heal us, this fallen, this dark world. Only His beauty and His glorious revelation can heal our body, soul, and spirit sicknesses, our thoughts, our emotions, the sickness. And then when His glory shines forth, He can heal us of all these sickness. So this sister, when she returned to her chair, when she quieted down, and the Lord spoke to her, and the Lord said to her, in this Bay Area, the people who live here, why they are so easily crestfallen? Why? Because they trust their own talents, trust in the money, and trust in the positions. It's become their habit to trust these things. And so, they are very poor. That is to say, when the wind blows, and then there's fear immediately in them. And the Lord is saying to her that in the early church, because they share common possessions, they offered up everything to God, they have nothing. So the miracles and signs and wonders follow them. The external things are not just security. They only trusted God. And therefore, they experienced the abundance of the Spirit, and signs and wonders followed them. But in this Bay Area, all the people live here because they are very rich. So they trust in their earthly riches and become their habit. And so they become very poor. There's no power of God in them. Only trust the things external. Things that they can see and touch. But brothers and sisters, in the Bible tells us, truly, on the earth, our life, if you are living in the old wineskin, your whole life on earth, the Lord is very clear that everything is meaningless. And you toil and work hard and hardship and suffer. The poor have their worries, and the rich have their rich worries. Because when money, you have a lot of money, you need to take care of this money. The money in the interest in the bank is very low, and if you buy stocks, or to buy mutual funds, or to buy land and houses, or do another business, whatever you do, you need to invest because you have much money. No matter how you use to buy gold or do any type of investment, it's one more worry to you because you have to watch over it. If you buy a house and to rent to others, you need to repair your house. If you buy gold, you cannot put it at home because you fear that it may be robbed. And then if you buy stock, you're afraid that it may fall in price. So the rich have their worries, the poor have their worries. And then the rich have more worries because they have to take care of more things, and there are more worries. The Bible tells this already. In Ecclesiastes it says, all the things that you experience on the earth, it's meaningless, everything is emptiness. And the end of everything is to fear God before the days of trouble come. You must remember the Lord who created you. And that is to think more of Him, more thank Him, more love Him, to fear Him more. Because when you fear Him, you will trust Him. You will not trust on those changeable things. You discover that a person on the earth, a rich person, when he discovered that he has cancer, he's willing to exchange all his money for his health so that there be no cancer cells in him and there be no tumors. He's willing to become poor. He doesn't care about money, just want his health back. But a healthy person, is he happy? No. A healthy person often wants this, and wants this thing and wants that thing, wants more and more. So every person are living in a state of dissatisfaction and unhappiness, and just a little shaking, it will be shaken off. So the Bible tells us, when we live, do we need a lot of things? Let me ask you. You see, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, for 40 years they were in the wilderness. What did they eat? Only ate manna. They did not get sick. Their feet did not swell. And the shoes did not wear out. So when Jesus came, Jesus told them, I am the manna from heaven. So Jesus is telling us, if we have Jesus, we have enough. And you say, truly, is that real? If I have Jesus, then would things fall from heaven to feed me? Yes. He came from heaven, but he would not starve you if you lean on him. Do we really need that many things? They only ate manna. They do not need to eat anything else. But when they entered the Canaan, when they start to eat meat, and then you need to eat vegetables and fruits. And you see today, many of the illnesses that we have are the illnesses of the rich. But the poor people eat very simple food. And God is fair. And then the things are cheap, like carrots and very cheap, and the potatoes, and those are very nutritious. And then the rich people, when they eat a lot of meat, and then they have gout. And so they ate manna. They did not get gout, and the feet did not swell or lack any vitamin. They did not eat anything else, but then they were very healthy. The feet did not swell. The shoes did not wear out. Very miraculous. Today, God wants to give us, he said, I am the manna from heaven. And if your life is hidden with him in God, and if he is your desire and your joy, you don't need that many things. You discover that God would cause you to live a wonderful life, not a life of toil and labor and hardship, but a joyful life. You see, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, they did not bring refrigerators or their clothes dryer with them. All they ate was manna. They did not get sick. And today we have so many things and we have all kinds of sicknesses. And you know the anti-static paper or cloth you put in the dryer to remove the static. And I read that it is poisonous. And then it gets on the clothes and the clothes touch our skin and then it's bad for us. And the many things that we think that is more convenient for us and then we smell better, but they bring all kinds of illnesses. So God wants us to live a simple life. If you have the heavenly manna, that's enough. And let us, what is heaven like? We really need to know our country home that we're going to be going there in the future, and what kind of place that Jesus is living right now, and what does he look like? What does Jesus doing now? Do you know? And the Bible tells us these things. And what does Jesus look like? And his face, countenance is like the radiant sun. And his face is like fire. And another place it says, in Daniel says, and his face is like lightning. It's like light. It's so glorious and you cannot look at it for very long. And then Isaiah speaks of the seraphim, and they have two wings and fly, and the two were covering their feet, and the two wings were covering their faces. And when they see the glory of God, and he said, oh, it's too glorious, and I can't take it anymore, and so they cover their faces. They cannot take that much of God's glory, and then they have the desire to see God's glory again, so they open their wings again, and say, so glory, so glory. So amazing beauty, they cannot take it too much at one time. But the more as we draw near to God, and then we will have more capacity to receive the glory and the beauty of God, because we are made in His image. God wants us to be united with Him. God wants to reveal to us His amazing beauty. We need to come and read the passages when God reveals Himself, so that heavenly things to us. And when you come and pray those Bible verses where God reveals Himself, you discover there's more brightness in you, that be filled with the glory of and beauty of heaven, and not be filled with the rubbish of the earth. The more we to focus on God and to more pay attention, meditate on things in heaven, and then you discover that on the earth you are living beside the garbage. And then you smell the odor, the rotten odor, and you see the dirty things around us. So today, when I went to see see the morning sky, and then I saw a pine, a tree in my neighbor's house, and then the tree cannot be compared with the heavenly redness, and you cannot compare against that beauty, and you cannot compare the pine tree on earth with the heavenly dawn. When the seraphim, when they saw God, when they see God, they cry out, holy, holy, holy. That holy in the original language means set apart, and then that it's being sanctified. Holy is not that, it doesn't mean that they are sinless or that it's clean or it's holy. No, it doesn't mean that. In the original meaning, is a holy means that he is different, he's sanctified, set apart from the created. And his beauty is a holy beauty. It's not of the earth. And no matter how beautiful person you see, or a beautiful precious stone, it cannot be compared to the beauty of God, because all these are created. And He is the source of all things. And His beauty is holy. And His position is holy. And His wisdom, He just gave Solomon a little bit of His wisdom. And Solomon prayed to God, I do not know how to reign over your people, rule of people. And yes, I will give you a little wisdom. And Solomon became the wisest person in the whole world. And then if they were to analyze Solomon's wisdom, he said that they can have tens of PhDs. And the wisdom of God is holy. And it's different and sanctified, set apart from the wisdom of the earth. And His loving kindness is holy. It's different from the love of the world. And then the love of the world is a possessive. And when we love someone, and this person needs to meet my expectations, and if that person does not meet my expectations, then I am disappointed at them, and you may hurt others. The love of God is holy. It's a perfect love. Love you until you become holy. Love you until you become healed. Love you until you are changed. This is the love of God. The power of God, His power and strength is holy. His authority is holy. Whether an earthly king, he has power, and then he may be assassinated. Or he may have authority, He has authority to rule over. He may rule over the people, but he does not have power to take care of matters. And then he has the power to kill, but he cannot rule over his own jealousy. When the women saying that Saul has killed thousands and David has slain tens of thousands, he pursued, he was jealous of David, he wanted to kill David. So the authority of God is different than the authority of the earth. And the authority of God controls history, that this nation rises up and that nation falls. It's all under his reign and his control. And then he sent the Messiah to come. And any other nation and king want to kill Israel? No, they cannot. Because Jesus is to be born among the Jews. You will discover that his authority, his power, his wisdom, his love is greater than ours. It's holy. So, brothers and sisters, we must be interested in our God. Our thoughts need to meditate on the things of heaven. You know, in heaven there are meetings. In the Job, there was a meeting in heaven. And the sons of God were before God. And Satan came there also. And Satan, and God said to Satan, "You see my servant Job? He is straight and righteous, and he shuns evil." And another place he speaks in King Jehoshaphat and the King Ahab, and that before him that tens and tens of thousands of warriors in First Kings chapter 22. And then the army of the Lord is in front of him, and the Lord Jehovah said, "Who would send a spirit of deception?" And then that he would go and fight against the king of Aram. And then the spirit came, "I would go and deceive King Ahab." And then the God asked him, "What method would you deceive him?" "I would put the spirit of deception among the prophets." And so the spirit of deception entered the prophets of Ahab. Because the God has decided that he will die. And you will know that in heaven there are the soldiers and warriors are standing before the Lord. We need to meditate on the things of heaven. And you discover that the many things on the earth are small matters. And you will not pay attention, why would this person be used more than me? And why is the boss treat him better than me? Or why that person's salary is increased by $10,000 and not mine? And these are little matters. And God says that if we are truly raised with Christ, we need to think of the things of heaven. If you think of the things of heaven, your emotions, your thoughts, your whole person, your whole health, your whole person will be different, will be different. Just like I shared with you, our sister, and she was just dancing before the Lord, the heavenly things were revealed to her just for a moment. And then all her worries about her finances were gone. And the whole person is so joyful. But when God reveals himself to us in a certain time, but our stamina of our life needs to be changed, needs time. How is the stamina and of our life to be changed? Now, we speak about this in the Inward Life series. The other thing is to read and to read out and pray out aloud these verses where God reveals himself. And in our book shop, bookstore, there is a book called Praying the Bible, and that's praying out the words of God. And some of them speak of the revelation of God's character. And they say that they recommend that pray that passage 10 times a day for 10 days and then go to the next passage. When you pray this often, you will discover that you will have more interest in things of heaven, more desire, more longing for the things of heaven. Just like those people in the Bible, they long for the heavenly home. Why are we unfamiliar with things of heaven? Because we are smelling the garbage and watching the garbage and looking at the garbage of the earth. So, more worship and come and meditate on the words of God and come to Hop and Bowl worship, that our stamina would be changed, that our appetite would be changed. And if the mouth of, if your mouth and is always speaking about things of the stocks, then the, your heart is always thinking about stocks. And if your mind is always thinking about the actors and actresses, and you always talk about that, and if you're thinking about the things of heaven, then your thoughts, your emotions will be different. Will be different. And you will have a love for the things of heaven. If you are like this, then you would discover that, oh, originally I am so rich. Just like Jesus said on the earth, he gave a parable in Luke chapter 15, how the Heavenly Father loves us. The moment when we turn back towards the Father is waiting to embrace us, speaks of the love of God. In Exodus chapter 33, it says that when Moses, he prayed to God, "May you show me your glory." And the God said to him, turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, verse 33, verse 18 and 19. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 and 19. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I have compassion on whom I have compassion." Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." And faithfulness. Here it says, "And the Lord proclaimed his name before Moses. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God." When God reveals himself, what happens? What are the signs? There's earthquakes. There are thunder. The lightning. These are external signs. When the Lord proclaims himself, who he is, when he speaks of his character, he says that he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. We need to remember and meditate on these verses. What kind of God that we have? You see, the Israelites, when they saw God was going to speak to them, when they see the smoke on the mountain and the earthquake and the thunder, and they said, no, Moses, you go and speak to God. We do not want to approach God. They do not know that it's a blessing. Even though there's loud voices, because God is so fearsome and glorious, but there is grace and compassion and mercy from him. So we need to know God more. Just like Revelation chapter 4, it says, Apostle John, he saw one who's sitting upon the throne. He's like a jasper and carnelian. It speaks of the righteousness of God. And if our peanut brain and say that a person is righteous, then they will judge us. They said that you are not good enough and you are not righteous enough. But no, our God is righteous. On the other hand, He is a carnelian. And when He's red, then He's that speaks of His passion for us, His love for us. He's so holy, but yet on the other hand, He's full of passion and love for you. So we, on the earth, we feel like if a person is very holy or very righteous, he'll be very stern. And they will be self-righteous. And they would be self-centered because they feel like they are better than others. But our God is not like that. On one side, He is righteous. On the other hand, He's full of passion and interest for us who are sinners. That is a carnelian. And another person who is very passionate, and then we often are very emotional. And this earthly emotion and passionate, if they love you very much, and if you don't have any response, and then you don't have the response back to them, and they would be very disappointed in you. And they do not like you anymore. But God is not like this. On one hand, He is full of passion. On the other hand, He is a rainbow. He is full of mercy for us. And then there is the rainbow circling the throne, and they're using the rainbow to interact with us, using His mercy to draw us and meet with His righteousness. And then it is His mercy for us to approach His holiness and His passion, because He knows that we are like a block of wood. We don't respond to Him. We do not understand love. And then we are often fearful of the Lord who is righteous and holy. We need to meditate on who our God is. It's not to use what my imagination is of God, but rather what God says He is. What is God like? And the Lord proclaimed before Moses, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. And there's no people on earth that would say that I'm full of passion and gracious. If this person said this, then we think that he's very proud. But this is the humility of God, because God does not have His old man in Him. We do not have the teaching of the world, or the false humility. Or before others, people said that you're very capable. He said, no, we are not very capable. But they themselves think that, yeah, inside of me, I know I'm capable. But God is not like this. If I am that way, I proclaim that way. So I am the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. And so Moses is one who are often with God. So he is like God. He becomes more like God. So the more he's with God, the more he's like God. And so the face of Moses was radiant and had more of the character of God. So Moses himself wrote, he said that Moses is the most humble among all the peoples of the earth. And this is the humility of Moses. If we were Moses, we say, we do not dare to write that. Other people would scold me. They said that I'm very proud and so boastful. But in the eyes of God, Moses is humble, more humble than all people, because God convicted him to write it down. So we need to have the value system of heaven and change our foresight that may change us. We need God to bring us into His character, into His emotion, into His feelings, into His world, so that we will not be encumbered by the things of the world and be oppressed by it, and to be in bondage in the things of this world. This is our God. This is our God. One time, we have a sister, for a period of time was praying to the Lord and saying, "The Lord, since you have betrothed me to be your bride, but why? How come I cannot love you with all my mind and strength and soul? How come my emotions are always settling on certain people, people that I can get along with, and then in my emotions I like to spend time with them, and I like them very much. How come my emotions are settling on certain things that interest me, on people that I like? Oh Jesus, how I wish to love you with all my heart and with my mind." And as she prayed this to the Lord for a period of time, one day, in the middle of the night, God awoke her. And often God awoke her to pray. So that night she woke up and she knew that she was to pray and intercede for the new church building and for the funds and offerings. Because then I spoke about the message about the bonfires, and then she was still half asleep when she woke up. So she sat in the corner of her house and she said, "Lord, yes, I need to intercede and pray for the church building and offering, but I just want to draw near to you and come near to you." And all of a sudden, the Lord said to her, "I am flattered. I am flattered. I am flattered by you." And when the Lord said to her this, oh, she woke up completely. And she said, "How can God, to me, such a person, I'm still wearing my pajamas, and I am almost blind, I do not have my glasses on, my hair is a mess, and sitting in the corner of the room, and when I said that I want to draw near to you," and the God was flattered. When she shared this with me, I was very convicted and touched, and I understood, yes, Lord, when you were on earth, so few people understood you. We know that God is very rich, we want this and want that from Him. Oh, I ask God for this and for that. Very few people say, "Lord, I just want to come near and draw near to you." And when she drew near to the Lord and behold Him, and for a period of time, and then she prayed and interceded for the our church building, and she saw that, and she saw California, and then saw this Gulf of Mexico, and then saw that San Jose, and this is the center of a radar shining out and sending out its pulses. Yes, even though it's a big amount for the new church building, I will cause this message to be sent out like radar, and I would raise up an army of offering that would donate funds to build my temple, this Forerunners Training Center. And the gods gave her this vision. From that day onwards, she said that for several days, inside of her, there's this conviction, "Come and spend time with me. Spend time with me." And God awoke in the middle of the night to spend time with Him. So from that day, after the meeting, it was rather late. And she still has that conviction in her. So she went to her room. She sent her kids to bed. And then the mom is here. And then I'm here to be with you. And I want to spend time with Jesus. And as she was drawing close with Jesus, she said to the Lord, "I want to draw near to you. I want to spend time with you. I want to accompany you. I am not asking you to heal my sickness or to ask you of anything or why I'm praying. I just want to spend time with you, Lord. Just want to spend time with you." And she was saying this to the Lord, and for a period of time, as she drew near to the Lord, all of a sudden she said, "Jesus, do you love me?" And the Lord said, of course I love you. I died for you on the cross. And she said, yes, I've heard this many times that Jesus died for me on the cross. And she wanted it to be more personal to her. And it's only to me, because Jesus died for all men. And she knew that, but inside of her she felt like it was not satisfying enough. And she was, this thought passed through her mind, but the Lord knew. And the Lord said, before time I loved you, before time I chose you. Therefore my gospel, I led the 12 disciples, I gave them the gospel, and then they preached to the entire land of Israel and all the Jews. But that Lord is so far away from me, how is that related to me? And the Lord said to her, before the creation of the world, I loved you. So I have been desiring and longing for you, and how to bring you to my bosom. So the gospel was preached through the land of Israel, and then preached to Europe, and then to Germany, and then a group of people came to United States, to the East Coast, to the Ridgewood Church in New York, into Hans Vogel Church, and they are the descendants of Germans. And then a gospel was preached to Scotland, and then a group of people from Scotland came to Canada. And the sister Pearl Young grew up in Canada, and I brought her to Taiwan, and then in Taiwan, and then the Inner Life series came to the United States, and came to you, and so you came to know me. You be saved. It is the detailness of my love and planning for you, so that this gospel is not just casually or accidental, but rather the detail, the fine work of God's love, causing all kinds of circumstances to raise up all these circumstances so that we would be led to the gospel. When this sister shared with me, I cried out, how God pursues us, His love in pursuing us. And God loves us. It's just like a man saw a woman, a girl he loves, and then he loves this woman and this girl, and so he needs to plan out and find out who are her friends and who are the good friends, and then to find those friends and to find them, and then to have meals and dinners and lunches with them, and then cause these other friends to introduce the girl that they love. And so God is the same way. He is using His plans through time and space to seek us, to pursue us. Brother and sister, do you know this love of God? You know what we are like? We are like autistic children. We do not understand His love. We only know that He died for us on the cross. Jesus said, yes, I died for you on the cross. Yes, it is that time. But yet, before time, I loved you. And I have been planning that one day you want to bring you to my bosom. This is the love of God. And God is seeking for friends, seeking for His friends. So that's why God said, you must be my friends. And then you must know the wonder of friendship. And not only just worship me and adoring me and obey me and loyal to me, but yet it's full of understanding of love. And that person will become my friend. And Jesus is saying that not only we worship Him and adore Him or obey Him or be loyal and faithful to Him, but has the understanding of love for him, then we are friends of Jesus. He says that, just like I am your friend. The Lord said that I can do all things for you, but I hope that we I want you to think what you can do for me. When you feel that I trust in you, that when you have this trust for me, that you have trusted me that I would do this for you and do that for you, then your ministry would be different. When we feel that God has this trust and faith in us, that we will do this thing we're willing to do and do it good for him, then he said that then our ministry would be different. And the God said that you must emphasize and put more of your emotions and mind on my friendship. And in the sweetness of knowing me, I would be able to change this person to love, to help him. The more we become God's friend, God would cause us to love him in understand him in love. And that would be our help. That is the love of God. And the last Monday, while the prayer warriors were praying, God gave us a vision. And this vision says, we were looking from above. We saw a black cloud, a very thick black cloud. And it's not during the daytime. It was not during the nighttime. It was during the daytime. It's like covering the whole state of California and the neighboring state of California. And all of a sudden, it was a fire blew through the bottom of the clouds. And then it's like a volcanic eruption. And they create a big hole through the black clouds. And then only around the sides, there were black clouds. And then when we looked down through the hole, there was our church. And God gave this vision to one of our prayer warriors. That is from our church. It would burn through a fire. And it would burn through the black clouds above California. And when you burn through, and you can see how thick the black clouds were. Brothers and sisters, in these days, truly, while the Bay Area is in economic recession and the black clouds are covering the Bay Area, and those who have been laid off, they are moody and depressed and worried and in fear. They cannot find work. And those who are not have jobs and are not laid off, they are worried and anxious about why? Because they don't know when it's their turn to be laid off. And one person has to do the work of three persons. It seems like the external circumstances, nothing to be joyful about. But God says, in our church, he will gain a group of people. While others cannot laugh, we are here dancing and singing and joyful before the Lord. And the people outside, they don't have money. But here we have money to offer to the Lord. It's not because we are richer, but we have money to offer to God's work. And God wants to do this work among us. And he's already doing his work. He's already doing this work among us. It's not in the future. I've discovered that God is doing it today, in this time. So in the meeting, brothers and sisters can be so joyful and dancing before the Lord. Yesterday, Tim was very astonished at our prayer meeting, and never seen that Chinese can be so joyful and be so free and released, especially Chinese. But especially in this poor economic times, God wants to do this wonderful work among us. When we are singing and dancing that God is our joy, and the people who are unhappy and depressed is because God is not our joy. And the more that God is the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we will not be depressed. And we think more of the things of the heaven, then the things of the earth will not stick to us. Actually, in this past half year, there are many things that happen in church. But I am very often joyful and dancing before the Lord. And those things cannot stick to us. Why? We have been drawn by heaven. The beauty of the Lord. The Lord attracts us. That is our home. That is our home. That is my home. God wants to do this glorious work. Brothers and sisters, if today you are singing and dancing and crying out before the Lord that the Lord is your joy, and then to read these passages about God's character and that His beauty would fill our minds, then your whole emotions, your thoughts would be changed, would truly change you. And you won't be thinking about this and that and this is bothersome and that. No. And God will give you heavenly wisdom and many things will become easier for you. If it is not this way, and the people that are outside, they can easily get depression. And the enemy would smile and laugh at us. And they would lead many people to death. But God wants to gain this group of people. While the darkness covers the earth, while the thick darkness covers the people, but the glory of God would shine on us, brothers and sisters, while we are truly having the joy of heaven fill us, your colleagues in your workplace, your manager will come and ask you about your brightness and light. And he said, and then yes, if you have Thanksgiving musical meeting, I want to go. How come in this time you can be joyful? And then discover people, and then they did not go to work, and then every day is at home, and he's mowing the lawn, and then he's doing the garden and then bringing out the garbage. And how come this person is still singing and whistling? You don't need to have low self-esteem. This is a time of grace. Even though you have severance pay and you can seek the Lord, and then that your stamina may be changed, may be built up, that when God is your joy, God will not shortchange you. And when the time comes and that your stamina is ready and built up, it will give you work. Some that have been laid off, they are so sad. And when they have joy, and when they have a job, they are more worried and more anxious because they have so much work to do. Why do you always need to be depressed and worried? You have the most joyful God. God wants us to be joyful in His temple of prayer because His throne is established here. God loves us. He is full of compassion and grace for us. He is slow to anger. He loved us from the foundation of the world. And then He has this detailed plan to lead us into His glorious gospel, to enter into the kingdom of His grace. How can we not love Him? Let us sing this hymn. Accepted, a covenant of love they established with us. Let us stand and sing this hymn. I love you with an eternal love. Draw you with my loving kindness. Forever betroth you to become my bride. Forever faithful in my love towards you. Oh, how I may gain the heart of my Lord. Look upon you with my eyes only.
And my heart is like a well, covered well, and bear fruit just for my Lord. Put me as a seal on your heart. Put me, wear me as a seal upon your arm. Your love is strong and sure, overcoming death. Mighty waters cannot cover, cannot wash away. Put me as a seal upon your heart. Wear me as a seal upon your arm. Your love is strong and sure, overcoming death. The mighty waters cannot cover, cannot wash away. I love you with an eternal love. Draw you with my loving kindness. Betroth you forever as my bride. Forever loyal in my love to you. Oh, how I wish to gain the heart of my Lord. Use my eyes to look upon you. My heart is the well, covered well for you. Bear fruit for you. Put me as a seal upon your heart. Wear me as a seal upon your arm. Strong and sure is your love, overcoming death. Mighty waters cannot wash away nor cover. Put me as a seal upon your heart. Wear me as a seal upon your arm. Strong and sure is your love, overcoming death. Mighty waters cannot wash away, cannot cover. Brothers and sisters, God wants to establish His covenant with us. He paid a great price. When I read Revelation in heaven, who is worthy to open the scrolls? There is one, the Lamb. And the Lamb that was slain. So in the future, in heaven, you will discover that everyone will be filled with glory and beauty. Only our Lord Jesus. He has the scars of the throne of thorns. And in His hands is pierced. And the same with His feet. There are stripes. The wounds and scars of His stripes on His back. He will wear this forever. And he, otherwise John would not say that he has been slain. The scars of the slain, of him being slain, are on him. You know, if we have scars on us, we want to we have plastic surgery and try to cover it up. Or we would be have low self-esteem and inferiority complex. But our Lord Jesus, for the sake of establishing this covenant with us, He's willing to wear these wounds and scars. This pierced hands and pierced feet, they are ugly. Anyone who has two holes in their hands, and the same with his head, with his feet. But he would be bearing this forever and ever. This is his love for us. This is his loving kindness for us. Let us sing the second stanza. I have given you a heart of flesh in place of stone. I have written my laws on your heart. I have washed you and purified you with water. I have forgotten all your sins. By your stripes I have been healed. You were punished. I receive peace. You were cursed, but I was blessed. You shed your blood, but I receive life. Put me as a seal upon your heart. Wear me as a seal upon your arm. Strong and sure is your love, overcoming death. Mighty waters cannot wash away nor cover. Put me as a seal upon your heart. Wear me as a seal upon your arm. Strong and sure is your love, overcoming death. Mighty waters cannot wash away or cover. I have given you a heart of flesh in place of your heart of stone. I have written my laws on your heart. I have washed you and purified you with water. All your sins I have forgotten. By your stripes I have been healed. You were punished, but I received peace. You were cursed, but I was blessed. You shed blood, but I received life.